Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Blog Talk family. This is Leslie Gist. You're listening to the Antique E-Show, or better known as the Gist of Freedom Blog Show. Tonight we have an extremely important guest. His name is Mr. Mark Taylor. He is representing Canada's Emancipation Day celebration. He is the president of the organization. Are you on the line, Mr. Mark Taylor?
Good afternoon, Leslie. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm glad that you're able to talk to the Blog Talk family here on the internet, on the Wild World Web.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity, Leslie. It is something that is important to both of our countries, that's Canada and United States. So any opportunity that we get to spread the word is very important to us.
Great. And what word is it that you're talking about spreading?
Well, there is, for Canadians as well as Americans, is that Abraham Lincoln Emancipation Proclamation was one of the famous ones. But before the American Proclamation of Independence, there was one that was passed by the British Parliament. Now, that one was spearheaded by a gentleman that we know as William Wilberforce. Now, William Wilberforce is a gentleman that he fought for many years in a British politician. And he fought to have, slavery ended in the British Commonwealth. The sad thing is that he was successful. He died 3 days after the proclamation was made. So what it is that we make an attempt to do, and we do so well here in Canada, is that we remember the Emancipation Day that was passed by the British politicians, freeing us all that belonged to the Commonwealth.
Great. And what was the effect on the Americans, the African Americans, when this legislation was passed?
Think of it this way, okay? And for we all know about Underground Railroad. Now, the Underground Railroad wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't you didn't have a safe haven, a place called Canada for escape slaves to turn to run to. As a matter of fact, follow the North Star was referring to the star that would lead you to Canada. And our histories are so entwined in regards to the Underground Railroad because think of it this way. If there was no place for slaves to escape to, where would they go? Where would they run to?
Right. That's a very, very profound comment that you made and, set of facts that you highlighted to us. So tell us about your celebration, and does it have an educational component such as what you just, demonstrated tonight?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the Emancipation Day celebration here in Windsor used to be the largest festival of its kind in North America. It was attended by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. George Washington Carver, and a number of other well-renowned individuals. The thing, though, that really sticks out is the fact that it died at one point. And the reason for his death was that they had a riot over in Detroit. And it made Windsor the first city in Canada to actually go out and purchase riot gear because the white folks here in Canada was afraid that it was going to spill over into this particular city. So they made history, the first Canadian city to actually have riot police gear. It never happened, never occurred, but it didn't really matter because what they did is that they revoked the license of the celebration itself. It was the year that, the council that put it together was expecting the largest turnout from both sides of the border. I mean, Windsor is a city at that time that had only a population of about 50,000, but there was over 300-plus individuals. And for that particular year of the Detroit riot, they were expecting, the largest crowd ever. But it never materialized, it never happened, because the city fathers here, all white males, made it their point to actually cancel the license, not only for the first year, but also too for the second year. And, it really had a very big impact because it was something that was looked forward to, the Miss Sepia contests draw people from all over the state. Because out of that 300 and plus individuals that used to come and join in the excitement and the fun and the celebration, I can tell you that approximately roughly about 70% were Americans. I mean, we have Jesse Owen, Joe Louis, okay, Dinah Ross, many of the Motown greats, they came and they performed, they boxed, they ran here in, okay, and so it is was a celebration that was looked forward to. And it's one that even to this day, when we speak about Emancipation Day celebration in this particular region, it is that you notice that people they have so many stories to talk, so many stories to tell about it, because it was one of those things that was ingrained in people's heart, ingrained in people's mind. And so what we do and what we're doing is that it is part of our history, part of our history. And it is something that we can't let die. It is something right. that we have. Make sure and ensure that we leave it for our children to see and for our children to know. Because, Leslie, I'm going to tell you something. The sad part about it is that it did die for a period of time here in Windsor. It did die.
Now, what other cities in Canada also have an emancipation celebration? So if it died in Windsor, was that did it die all over the country?
Well, yes, it did. You see, we have a long weekend that starts off. We call the first weekend in August is always our long weekend here. It used to be called Emancipation Day. Okay, the whole weekend used to be known as such. There was no official rules or laws that was passed to change it, but over time the name disappeared. Now, here in Canada, that particular weekend, it all depends on which city you're in. It's known as either Civic Holiday here in Windsor, or Simcoe Day up in Toronto, or just a holiday to the rest of Canada. So right now we have a petition in front of our federal government for them to again reclaim and proclaim that particular weekend as Emancipation Day. So I have to tell you this, though, okay, with the election of President Barack Obama, it has inspired a lot of people. It is now very in vogue, very nice. Everyone now is so motivated and in more ways than one to really do what it is that they need to do to preserve, to enshrine our history, the rich history that we brought to this part of the world. So to answer your question more directly, there's that famous Toronto Carabana. It's on that particular weekend, and the same Emancipation Weekend. And really and truly, if you go to, for example, Jamaica, they have Emancipation celebration out there too as well. They just reclaimed theirs in this year, as a matter of fact speaking. But Emancipation Day is a holiday that is celebrated all over the world, all over the world, to the fact that, again, if you belong to the British Commonwealth back in 1833 when that proclamation was signed, it means that all the countries that made it up, if they had slaves, the slaves were freed in 1834. The catch to that, to this particular proclamation was that even though you were supposed to be freed in 1834, the whole truth to it is that, yes, you were free. You weren't called slaves no more. Now you were called apprentice. Because if you're over a certain age, if you're under 11 years old, okay, you were freed. But if you're over 11 in 1834, you have to serve another 7 years as an apprentice without getting paid, without any compensation whatsoever. And so, you know, the people were excited that they were freed, but after the August 1st celebration that they had, the first one, and they realized that they had to go back to work the next day, it wasn't a pretty thing, and there was quite a few riots in various parts of the world at the time. I do know that some places like in St. Lucia, a number of was actually killed because they refused to go back to work, because they said, hey, that proclamation freed us. Why should we go back to work? But of course, the military was called in. Pretty much, it was similar occurrence happened all over. But in Canada, it was a little different due to the fact that the general at the time, his name was Simcoe, hence Simcoe Day. You know, he says, hey, why are we going to wait for 7 years? We're going to ensure that. From the moment, from today, and
wow.
So Canada, with another country, Barbados, was very unique. They were the only two countries that said, quote unquote, you know, we're not going to wait for that 7-year apprenticeship to end. We're going to do it today. And so that's what's especially special about Emancipation Celebration here in Canada.
Wow, that's awesome. I love to hear you talk about our history so fluently the way that you have. I have a quick question. During my research, I discovered something similar happened in New Jersey when they emancipated the slaves. And New Jersey was the last state in the North to emancipate the slaves, to end slavery, to abolish slavery. And what I discovered was very similar to what you said. There was a cutoff. At a certain age, if you were younger than 11, something similar to the same age of guideline that you're talking about, that you were free. But if you were older, you had to continue to be a slave. It was gradual abolishment of slavery. And what happened as a result of this slow transition was there was a influx of orphans now. So you had little black children were free, but their parents were still enslaved.
Wow.
And I just thought that was like, it was great to be free, but to free just part of the family and to have children roaming around without a family, it just was devastating to the black family. And I think in a way the community started to galvanize around this whole situation where the children were free, but the parents weren't. So did you have that problem of children becoming orphans and homeless?
Well, no, we didn't have, not exactly in the fashion that you mentioned, because it's, it was, okay, for countries like Canada, for example, right off the bat, everyone was freed. But I do know for a fact that in places like Jamaica, as an example, is that there was no place for these kids to go. If they want to eat, they're going to have to labor and toil just like anyone else. So even though they were freed, had no choice but to sometimes stay on the same plantations due to the fact that they had no money, they had no food, they have no clothes other than what was on their back, and so where are they going to go? What are they going to do? It's an island. In most cases, what are they going to do? So even though, again, it has been a long road, but yes, they were freed, but the truth known is that, you know, it continued. They had no choice but to work in some of those plantations, to work in some of those conditions. So it was just almost like a flip of a switch in the mind. Yes, I am free, but I'm still stuck doing the same thing that I was doing yesterday and the day before.
And how I discovered this story was I seen an old newspaper advertisement. They were looking for newly freed slave children to work in the factories in Paterson, New Jersey. And it just blew me away. And I tried to get a grasp of what was going on and why they wanted these children. And that's a whole different story, so we won't go into that. But let's talk about the light side of Emancipation Day. I was trying to find a song to play to introduce you to, and I'm going to try to get it together before you leave or when I rebroadcast the show. There's a song by the Winings. Do you know of the Winings family?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, they're just across the river from us.
Okay. Well, they have a song called Millions.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that song was a great song to talk about the Underground Railroad in Canada, because once you got there to Canada, you were free, and it was time to celebrate and be a jubilee. And I felt that one out of a million, you know, you felt like one out of a million to make it to Canada, to make it to the North, and to freedom. Is there any way that your celebration depicts and arouses those types of sentiments throughout any type of festivities that are going on that captures that moment, that elation of being free and making it to Canada?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, and I'm not sure how much time we have, but I tell you a story. Okay, we have a church here. It's called Sandwich First Baptist Church. So as you alluded to, yes, they made it to Canada. Okay, they made it to Windsor, especially because it was one of the major crossing, Windsor-Detroit segment. The problem was, though, that if you stick around in Windsor, we used to have the slave traders. They will cross the border. They will cross the border and they will search for you, and they will find you, and then they will take you back. So basically, what slaves used to do is that they used to put garlic and onions and everything around their feet, because that throws off the scent of the dogs. Famous church, Sandwich First Baptist Church here in Windsor. Slaves used to head to that church especially, because in the basement they had a hole. They had a hole in the basement that they used to hide all the slaves in. And sometimes you have bounty hunters that will come into the church. And what they were looking for that smell of garlic, that smell of onions. And so it's like the church itself used to put onions and garlics all around it just to, it's common sense so that you couldn't learn who had and who did not. And so this particular region where emancipation celebration takes place is very rich and steep in history. As a matter of fact, the emancipation celebration itself, as the name alluded to, is focused and based on that. And so we have reenactments. We tell stories in some of our plays. We have songs. We have a gospel fest, because we kept every single thing traditionally how it was in the past. In the past, you see, we had what's called a sunrise church service, where churches from both sides of the border used to come early in the morning at about 6 o'clock, and they used to sing the songs, listen to the pastors, the guest pastors speak, and then they will participate in the rides, the cool rides, the floats, the parades, the family barbecue. And there's one thing about emancipation, it's famous for its barbecue ribs. People used to come from all over just for that, especially. And so we kept everything traditional, because if it was good for them to have done it in the past, it's good for us to do it today. And so for our celebration here in Windsor, it is 4 days of family fun and entertainment. Friday, the opening ceremony, we have something for everyone. We have concerts for youth, okay, R&B and hip-hop. We have concerts for adults. Okay, if you like jazz, we got a lot of jazz. We have reggae. We have calypso. We have a different genre of music to play. On Sunday, it's a little bit different for 2010. It's going to be a little bit different for 2010 due to the fact that, yes, we still have that Sunrise Church service right down by the waterfront with the Detroit skyline in the background. Yeah. And then a little bit later on in the day, we followed up with a parade. Now, what I want you all to know is that we had the Martin Luther King Marching Band, Junior High School Marching Band, that went to China to perform at the Olympics. They performed this year, and they will perform again for 2010. But not only that, but we have some bands coming from Toronto, from Toronto's Carabao, because their parade is the day before. So ours being the day after gives them the opportunity to pack up their costumes and their floats and to move it down to participate in this great celebration itself. But
So you're keeping the spirit of networking going.
Well, that's what it's all about, you see. Because, you know, with all of our modern technology, okay, that we have at our fingertips, that we can instant send an email, okay, our forefathers and mothers didn't have any such thing, but they were able to do such a fantastic and wonderful job. And so it's all about networking. Every single thing that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Did was based on some form of networking. And so it is the key, and that's one reason why, Leslie, I'm so appreciative that for you to reach out and to touch us, because we're doing our best here in this country. But it's people like yourself and others that, build that backbone, the network, because if you can't plug into the network, if you can't speak to individuals to share your story, to see exactly what it is that we have in common and similar, because I'm not going to lie to you, I did not know about the New Jersey thing, but I learned that today. And so in the sense that thank you so much for teaching me something, okay, because I've done quite a few research. But now I have another feather to add, another page to add to the book itself. And
well,
so
thank you for listening, and thank you for, accepting my invitation to join us here on the show. But as you said, we have so much in common, and I should have known about Wilberforce because we have university here, a college named after him, in Ohio. And I didn't make the connection between Wilberforce and Canada and how important he is to Canada. So, we're learning a lot with each other from talking to one another. Now,
well,
your invitation also says that this is a multicultural celebration.
And that is, I'm sorry.
Are you representing the Wilberforce segment of the Underground Railroad?
No, as a matter of fact, Underground Railroad for us is that we have different sites, okay, here in Windsor. And for the Emancipation Celebration Weekend especially, what we do is that we send tours. We have tours of the various spots. For example, the church that I mentioned, Sandwich First Baptist Church, very important stop, the first stop in most cases for escaped slaves. But as I alluded to, they couldn't stick around too much in Windsor because it was just too close to the border. So
right.
What they will do is that they'll move on to places like Buxton, okay, Chatham, Toronto, okay. The further inland that they go, it's the less likely it is that those slave traders who get paid a very high sum for bringing back escaped slaves back to the States. And so we have, there's almost like it's a network. And so you have a number of different sites, a number of different places that, you know, either that was extremely important on the end of, cause that's what it is. Canada was the final stop on the Underground Railroad to freedom.
So do you still have towns that are that were settled by the freed African Americans? Are there historical towns that are still governed by descendants of these people who once escaped?
The answer to that is yes and no. Yes, there is cities, but it's not necessary that they're governed by individuals. But I can go as far as to say to you that they're made up of such individuals. Like Windsor is a perfect example. My last name is Taylor, and unfortunately, I'm not related to the Taylors that are here in Windsor due to the fact I'm from Toronto. But the bottom line to it is that the Taylors that are here in Windsor, they trace their roots back to just such an individual that came across. There was for that Sandwich Baptist Church that I mentioned earlier. That was put together by families. That was that escaped slave, okay, that made that church. They went to the Detroit River, dig out the clay, the mud, and they made bricks out of it, and they made that church. Now, the color of the bricks on the church itself represent different families. And so some of those families are still around today. As a matter of fact, there's a Charlotte Watkins. She is named after her here in Windsor. She was the daughter, not the daughter, but her family, okay, was one of those individuals. So, yes, Windsor is very unique, and I say that because I can speak for Windsor and speak for Toronto and a number of other locations. But they're very unique because they kept, you can actually see and actually speak to individuals that are directly descended from escaped slaves. They're not as diluted as elsewhere in Canada. They have remained solid, and, you know, the last names as the McCurdy's, last name as the Walls. As a matter of fact, Freeman Walls has this very nice site here in Windsor. And it is one that I would encourage you and your listeners to, when you come to Windsor, you got to see these places because it really does tell the story.
Wow. Now, do you have any museums and libraries or historical societies that you recommend we visit when we're down there to celebrate with you?
Yes, we do have the Amherstburg Library. It's a museum. I call it a library, but it's actually a museum. And inside they have a number of different stories that speaks of and tell the stories of the families that are there. The Freeman Walls site is one of the ones that I especially do recommend that you visit. There is North Star Community Center. They have one of the largest archive of information in regards to slavery and everything along those lines. And so, yes, there's Uncle Tom's Cabin, just an outskirts of Chatham. That's another site. That's very popular sites, as a matter of fact speaking, very popular sites indeed. So, we do have an Ontario Black History Society. We do have a Windsor Black History Society. The thing about Windsor is that this is almost not the brain of most of the country when it comes to black people doing things. But here in Windsor, we have a number of firsts. We have the first woman black electrician was actually here in Windsor. the first black lifeguard, the first black police for all of Canada. We are first here in Windsor for all of those particular things. So yes, the history and heritage and the places for people to see and to you know, to learn more about what happened to those individuals that fled slavery. What really happened to them? The story is here to be told.
An inspirational story, not the sad, downtrodden, traditional story we hear in the media. But this story that you're talking about is one of inspiring and one that we should be proud of.
Well, it's a story that we make ourselves, you see, because I'm not gonna sit here and say that we did everything right. Okay, we didn't. It's only most, like I said, is that you know, President Barack Obama really inspired us to really slip into gear. Organizations like the Windsor Emancipation Celebration Corporation, you know, was always fighting. The Amherstburg Museum was always fighting. The Ontario Black History Society was always fighting. You know, the whole the Uncle Tom Cabin, the Freeman Walls, we were all have been fighting now for quite some time. And so when I say that President Barack Obama, what his achievement has really kind of helps us also too as well, is the fact that the ordinary, the everyday individuals, they have they're awake and they're taking the opportunity and the time to come on out and to visit these things that's in their backyard. Because for some, they don't know. Just a little bit of history for you. We have here a special monument that was erected called the Underground Railroad Monument. Now, there's one on this side of the border, and there's another one across on the Detroit side. Now, those are what you call the twin monuments, because they depict one of those general scenes that you will see. On the Canadian side, you have a mother, some family members, and a little girl. And the little girl is looking back across the river to the American side. And on the American side, you have a father and some other family members. The whole meaning behind it is that not every time the whole family made it across safely. Mm-hmm. Sometimes only half, only partial, only a few individuals from the family make it to freedom. And so half is stuck on the other side, thrown back into the lives that they were trying to flee from, while half made it to safety. And so the both cities, Windsor and Detroit, recognizing that rich history that we so shared, we erected monuments. They are in line with one another. You can stay from the Canadian side and see the Detroit monument, and you can stay from the Detroit monument and see the Canadian side. That's just how close we were as a family. Okay.
Now, so, what do you have to represent Harriet Tubman? Will we see anything about Harriet once we're there visiting?
Well, there's a young lady, and her history, her folks was one of those escape slaves. As a matter of fact, I had an opportunity to take a look at one of those logs that the slavers used to keep, and they mentioned inside there that one particular group with the name McCurdy showed quite a bit of intelligence. I mentioned that due to the fact that the McCurdys today have a daughter named Leslie McCurdy. And what Leslie does, she does a fantastic job of, you know, Harriet Tubman. And so be that as it may, she performed at her banquet, and she's going to perform again for 2010. So, yes, you'll be able to see a show done by someone whose heritage, okay, whose folks was one of those escaped individuals that's mentioned in a number of different books, a number of different slave journals.
This,
and you'll be able
awesome.
To see a descendant. Yes.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned President Barack Obama several times. I'm honored and pleased that you feel as though he's your president as well. And I'm bursting at the seams with joy that, you know, how well he's received in your country. What was it like on a night of election?
Okay. Oh no, I say this to you. It was fantastic. Wow. Where do we start? As a matter of fact, okay, here's where we go. It was fantastic. It was extremely fantastic. And it had such meaning. See, we in Canada here have what's called the month of February is known as Black History Month. Mm-hmm. So that whole month is known Black History Month. And so when President Barack Obama made his first visit to Canada, he made it during that Black History Month. And so the Windsor District Black Coalition and the Windsor Emancipation Celebration Corporation, with individuals from both sides of the border, did a bus trip to Ottawa, the capital of Canada, just to be there to see President Barack Obama. And the treatment that we received was fantastic. You know, the Prime Minister of Canada and everyone really went to a great extent to, you know, to, because it was history in the making. The first Black president visiting Canada on Black History Month. It was very historic. And the Black people from all over, and also, of course, came out to support and to, you know, to show their love and affection for President Barack Obama. I was there. And I can tell you, it was a very large crowd, and no problem, no fuss, no fights. It was just everyone. There was a peace, a peace. It was just such a peaceful thing. You know, the feeling was just one of peace. And so, I tell you, it was beautiful. We had for the night of the election, we had a special. What you call? We watched it. We had we rented a number of facilities, and we had different stuff going on all over our community in, you know, just waiting pins and needles to see exactly what was going to happen. And so I was at the Caribbean Center here in Windsor and watched it on the big screen, you know, everything, all the commentators and everything. So it was exciting for us here, too, as well. And it's an achievement because, yes, we are Canadians, and, yes, you're Americans, but the truth about it is this, you know, we all came from the same place. It's just a matter of where we stopped,
right,
where we
now,
got off the boat.
If you could talk to President Barack Obama's representatives or his contact people and make a plea for him to come to 2010's Emancipation Day, what would you say to his people, you know? So why should he come to your place? He's been invited to a million different places. What makes your event so special?
Well, it's the history and the heritage. And it's very few places can share exactly what it is that Canada shares with the States. We are family. Okay, it's just that simple. We're separate. In my case, right here in Windsor, we're separated just by a river, the Detroit River. But we're family. I have family across the river who have family on this side of the river. And so, yes, we're a country called Canada, but our history, our heritage are so entwined that it, you know, it's come and visit your family. Come and participate in a celebration itself that made every single thing possible. Made every single thing possible.
Right.
And that's what
well,
the Emancipation Celebration
Canada
is.
Canada was the first beam of hope for
yes.
us. I think it was what inspired the Underground Railroad to even exist, knowing that there was a safe haven. And it's just wonderful to speak to you and to know that you are enthusiastic about your heritage and sharing it with us. Now, we're down to our last 9 minutes. I would like for you to give your contact information and, you know, also to promote your event and tell us everything that you expect for us to enjoy once we arrive there in Canada, Windsor.
Okay. We do have a website. It is emancipationday.ca. Okay, and our event is scheduled for 2010. It's going to be from July 30th to August 2nd. It's 4 days of fun for the whole family. We have sporting activities. We have craft booths, vendors booth. We have famous artists of colors that paint a lot of underground railroad scenes and Black historical scenes. We have art displays. We have bus tours. Marching bands, you know, parades, delicious barbecue, chicken and ribs, entertainment and entertainment and entertainment. It is it's a celebration, and we should not forget. We should not forget. And when we have an opportunity to promote and to participate, because that's one of the things we might have all these fantastic places like the Buxton's, the Amherstburg Museum. But if we don't have people going to it, because many of these particular facilities are not funded, our celebration itself is not funded. There's no government fund. This is something that the community does on its own. And so we require and rely on people like yourselves to come out and to participate and to visit, because by so doing, you make us strong. By making us strong, you give us the opportunity to keep it going, for our children and their children and their children and their children.
Wonderful. What got you involved? There were several things you could have done with your life. Why are you so committed and dedicated to the Emancipation Celebration?
Well, I grew up in this country, and even though this was a land of freedom, and it's, you know, the final stop on the Underground Railroad to freedom, we still experience, still have racism over here also too as well. And I believe that if you don't have something to be proud of, then really and truly, if you can't see yourself reflected in doing some things that are great, and that's why President Barack means so much to us, because it reflects, that's the reflection that is there. And so Emancipation was one of our most successful events that we, as Canadian blacks, performed in the past and put on and established here in this country. And so it's an opportunity, again, for us to, again, make history, again, to revitalize and to, you know, to make great. The Emancipation Celebration was known as the greatest freedom show on earth. And that is my goal and the goal of my organization to once again, with your help and your support, make Emancipation Celebration the greatest freedom show on earth.
Right. And, you know, we celebrate Emancipation Day here in the States as well. I don't know when it stopped, but I have some images on my website from Harper's Ferry magazine showing the parade, similar to everything that you talked about having at your gathering and your event. There's pictures that show that over here we did something similar. And it's just awesome, you know. And I never thought in my lifetime I would have a reason to celebrate Emancipation Day. But I think President Barack Obama brought it home. I think he embodies everything that Emancipation Day represents, being that we had to have both races involved, not just both, all races.
All races.
Involved to make it successful, to make Canada the safe haven that it was. So it's just awesome to be able to celebrate it and to find out about Emancipation Day in Canada, the year that he was elected, means a lot to me because I had never heard of it being celebrated the way that you guys are still doing it. So I'm really looking forward to attending the gathering. As you know, I already had people call you.
That is true.
To try to get you some celebrities and, you know, to make it happen with America representing in Canada this special, special year. 2010 for you guys. I was just curious, do you guys have a book fair?
Oh, yeah, book fair. As a matter, well, we do have a number of authors because, again, this region is rich. So we do have a tent. And inside the tent itself, well, we have a number of black authors. For example, this Miss Leslie, not Leslie, her mom is an author of a book, The Houses of Buxton. And in that book, it shows and illustrates that many of the things that we use in North America in our homes was actually influenced by from African designs. And
so, what I was thinking, I mentioned that because I want you to get in touch with Max Rodriguez from the Harlem Book Fair, and he organized the Harlem Book Fair in New York City. And
okay.
He also organizes different book fairs throughout the country. So I don't know if you've been in contact with him. I'm pretty sure he would be willing to participate. So that's it. You know, I just wanted to throw out some different
people. We're happy for anything, for all the help, because it's all information, and information is the key. If you don't have the information, okay, if you just don't know, and if you don't know, you can't govern and change and change your life. And so, Leslie, again, for anyone that wishes to contact us, its phone number is 519-419-5000. 5076. Our email address is email at emancipationday.ca. And so we want you to come out to visit us. It's going to be very special. It's always special, but it's even more so due to the fact that we're trying to bring it back. And it's not easy. It's a lot of work, but we have over 200 plus dedicated individuals that these things mean so much. The whole community, as a matter of fact, means so much to that they work. It's all volunteer based. It's all volunteer driven. And so, in a sense, that what we do is because of, you know, we believe that it's something that should be done. And so we donate and we volunteer our time and we make it happen. But we can't do it without you because, again, at least 60 to 70% was Americans that came to this side of the border. We have Masons that are involved also, too, as well. And so for all those Masons that are listening, it would be fantastic, would be great, because just like in the past, it was the Brotherhood of Masons that really was the lead in the forefront that made, you know, that first start off with this celebration. It was organized by the Masons,
wow.
Black Masons. And so that's another history story there also, too, as well, but, you know, due to a time constraint. But, again, Leslie, I would love to thank you. You know, and I would, but I'm thanking you so much for this opportunity. And I'm thanking
you, too, for, you know, for joining us tonight. And before you go, we have a minute left.
Sure.
I noticed on your website you have several supporters, commercial industries. I would like for you to give them show your gratitude by talking about the companies and different people who have helped you out throughout the years.
Sure. What you're looking at is that one of our biggest supporters, the TD Canada Trust, is a local bank over here, one of the big fours here in Canada, and they really supported us, and they made a small nice donation to our cause. It helped. Every bit helped, and so in a sense that just to recognize that we have Caesar Windsor. That's Windsor's Casino. Again, for those individuals that come to Emancipation Day celebration, right down at the waterfront, okay, is where Caesar Windsor is, and we are right in front of Caesar Windsor. So it's just no less than about a 2 to 3 minute walk to get to the casino if that's something that you're doing. But also too as well, we have the school board that really supported us, gave us access to their schools. We would love to reach, and we reach out to our students, to all students, as a matter of fact speaking. But if you don't have access, and it's a little different over here, where our schools are basically closed off from the general public. So you have to get and receive permission from the board before you can even go to the schools or send in documentation or anything along those lines. So the school board was really helpful. The University of Windsor, one of the most diverse universities in Canada, okay, and fantastic university. They support us also, too, as well. And for A-Channel, that's the news, news reporters, individual, give us the interviews and the television commercial, et cetera, along those particular lines. But there's one especially, and it's not a supporter, it's a part of us, it's Carter Shows. They're the individual that gives us the carnival aspects of it. Carnival was a part of Emancipation in the past, so when we got them on board, it's not something easy to do, but we got them on board, and they have over 24 different rides that's down by the waterfront with the scenic Detroit skyline in the background. It's a beautiful thing. And so for all of your friends and guests and, everyone that's within hearing my voice, come on out. Come on down. Come to Canada. It's a beautiful place. Safe, clean, just gorgeous. We just have fun.
Thank you, Mr. Mark Taylor. I think we're going to have a tremendous time in Canada. And the dates are?
July 30th to August 2nd.
All right. We will be there, and we will be in touch. We'll definitely keep in contact throughout the winter into the spring and, of course, during the summer. So,
thank you, Leslie.
You have my support, and have a great night.
Likewise to yourself. Thanks again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.